In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations compiled by Mormonism Research Ministries Bill McKeever, is a valuable resource when wanting to know what Mormon leaders have said on a given topic. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do the Dead Sea Scrolls teach Mormonism? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week, we're looking at some of the claims made by various Mormon writers who insist that Mormonism can be verified by some statements that have been found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, of course, were discovered back in the 1940s. And if anything, Eric, the Dead Sea Scrolls have certainly vindicated our understanding of the Bible, our translations of the Bible. As you were mentioning this week, we have, for instance, the oldest text that our Bible came from was the Masoretic text, and the Dead Sea Scrolls precede the Masoretic text by about a millennium.
Yeah.
So, if anything, they seem to justify what we understand regarding the Bible, but Mormons have taken it and said, no, we find things in the Dead Sea Scrolls that actually supports Mormonism.
There's a lot of information that we're covering this week, but you can go to our website, mrm.org/Dead Sea Scroll Doctrine, with hyphens in between each of those words, and you can see what we're talking about because all the notes for everything we're talking about are found there.
Now, we're going to be referencing a man by the name of Dr. Randall Price. He's the author of a book, Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and we're not going to go take the time to go back and look over his credentials, but I would easily say that Dr. Price's credentials regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls certainly outweigh some of these authors that we're going to be citing as well. And as we mentioned, one of them is a man by the name of Dennis K. Brown, who wrote a book called Evidences of the Church. It was published by Cedar Fort in 2008. But Randall Price is going to take some of the arguments that Dennis Brown uses, but he's not refuting Dennis K. Brown. He's going to be refuting another man by the name of Eugene Siach, who wrote a book called Mormonism, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Nag Hammadi Text. And so yesterday, we ended our show by listing one of these doctrines that these writers have said can be found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that is the doctrine of preexistence, which, of course, is a major teaching in Mormonism. But what does Dr. Price say about what Eugene Siach, in his book, Mormonism, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Nag Hammadi Text, what does he say about this?
On page 385, he writes, Siach first attempts to find Dead Sea parallels to the Mormon doctrine of heavenly preexistence of the soul. He begins with Josephus's statement that the Essenes believed the human soul was, quote, immortal and endured forever, end quote, and that's found in Jewish Wars 2.8. Page 154. This, of course, assumes that those who wrote the scrolls were Essenes. Yet all Josephus' statement tells us is that the Essenes held to a doctrine of immortality, not preexistence. What's more, nowhere in the scrolls themselves do we find evidence that the sect taught a preexistence for the human soul.
If that's the case, then why does Eugene Siach say that? Why does Dennis K. Brown say that? And why does Charles Abbott say that? I mean, they don't really provide some clear evidence of this, and obviously Dr. Price is saying that just isn't true. So Mormons, you got to quit using this stuff. You can't keep using this material that's already been refuted. Now, neither Brown nor Abbott provide, as I said, specific references that would lend support to this theory. But what does Price go on to say?
Bill, I'm going to say that the references they give are very weak. In fact, some of them from Brown come from notes that he took from Hugh Nibley. Well, there's no access that I can get to see his notes or audio cassette tapes that he has. And so the evidence that they're providing is not very strong. I'm not an expert in Dead Sea Scroll works or anything like that, and I've not read them in the original languages, but I've done a lot of study, and I looked long and hard to find anything that would say anything about the pre-existence. Certainly, there's this belief in immortality of the soul. But Bill, you and I believe in the immortality of the soul. We believe that we will be glorified, not as gods, and we'll have new bodies, etc. And this is, to me, is the same way that the Mormons have tried to do when they point to the Eastern Orthodox Church and the whole doctrine of theosis. You can go to our website, you can read a pretty long quote where it even goes further into showing how pre-existence was not found in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Point number two, do the non-biblical texts suggest that men can become gods?
This is what Brown writes. He says, the scrolls clearly state that we can progress eternally, eventually becoming as God. Other churches have called us blasphemous when we teach this. But Bill, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no support for this assertion. He does make a passing reference to notes given by Daniel Ludlow that were recorded in tapes. But again, I don't have that research. Ludlow is a Mormon. There's nothing outside of Mormon leaders or scholars that they are actually able to cite here. And when I think about the Dead Sea Scrolls and the idea that the Essenes were a branch of Jews, they were in Judaism. Certainly they disagreed with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Essenes called themselves the Sons of Light, and they called the other groups the Sons of Darkness. They didn't have a whole lot of respect for them, but they still were very monotheistic in their belief. And in fact, if you look at the discovery of the scrolls, you find only one book that has more references than Deuteronomy in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Psalms, 39 times. Deuteronomy, there are 33 of the 230 manuscripts, more than 10%, come from Deuteronomy. And we know Deuteronomy 6:4 is the most important verse in all of Judaism. It's called the Shema, and it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, which is the word Echad. And it's a very much a statement of not only in Judaism, but Jesus cites this passage in Mark. Monotheism is the rule and not the exception, that there's only one God, there never has been another God, and there never will be another God.
Now, you have some scholars that will insist that the ancient Jews at times certainly did believe in more than one God. Now, there's no arguing that. When we go through and we look at the Old Testament, we do find times when the nation Israel drifted off into believing in idols and false gods, and of course, God was a little upset about that and brought punishments upon them for turning their backs on the God who had brought them into the land and promised to preserve them. By the time the Essenes come on the scene, there is no argument that the Jews were a monotheistic people. The Christians were a monotheistic people. In fact, James in his epistle says that if you believe there's one God, you do well, which tells me that if you believe that there's more than one God, you're not doing well. This notion that men could become gods would certainly seem to undermine that, because if men could become gods, that's the opportunity for potentially millions of gods, you would think.
You would think too, Bill, that the Book of Mormon would teach this. And yet, if the Book of Mormon is supposed to be the most correct book on earth, and a man could draw near to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book, that's what Joseph Smith said. Well, then, what about all of the passages that seem to very clearly say there's only one God, such as 3 Nephi 11:27? It says, I say unto you that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. You don't find anything in the Book of Mormon that teaches that there are people who could become gods, or that God was ever a man. And yet Joseph Smith changed that doctrine later in his life. And if you go to Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, pages 346 and 347, he said, Here then is eternal life, to know the only wise and true God, and you have got to learn how to be gods yourselves. So Joseph Smith takes a doctrine that the Bible doesn't teach, nor does the Book of Mormon teach, and he makes it into men becoming gods. So not only does the Dead Sea Scroll not teach that, but we don't have that anywhere in the LDS scriptures called the Holy Bible or the Book of Mormon.
Well, let's look also at Alma 11:26 through 29. This is a verse that I've often brought up to Latter-day Saints, because even though Mormons like C.H. or Dennis K. Brown want to use this hyperbole that clearly it teaches this doctrine, it doesn't clearly teach this. I would say this seems to clearly teach that there's only one God, where it says, And Zizram said unto him, speaking to Amulek, Thou sayest there is a true and living God, And Amulek said, yea, there is a true and living God. Now Zizrom said, is there more than one God? And he answered, this is Amulek, who could not, by the way, if you look in that particular passage, could not say anything contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. Amulek says to that question, is there more than one God? And he answered, no, there is not more than one God. So you can't even find this, as you said, in the Book of Mormon. Now, if they're going to say there's a parallel in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you have to ask, well, why? It seems like the people who are writing the Dead Sea Scrolls don't seem to believe like the people in the Book of Mormon.
No.
So I'd say the Mormon has probably a worse dilemma on his hands.
Bill, the third point is, do the non-biblical texts teach that marriage and family go into eternity? Now, this one to me is, I think, the most bizarre of the 5 points. This is what Brown writes. He said, the scrolls have many references to eternal families and state that we will be sealed with our spouses and families in the hereafter. They state that our families will be our greatest joy in the eternities. No other church besides ours teaches this today. And maybe the reason no other church besides theirs teach this today is it certainly is not a doctrine found in the Bible. Jody Magnus is an archaeologist who actually teaches at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and has participated in more than 20 different excavations in Israel, a very famous archaeologist. This is what she says, referring to the first century Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote for Rome back in the first century. She said that his testimony indicates that the group or groups our ancient sources describe as Essenes included men who practiced celibacy, at least occasionally, if not permanently, as well as married members. The archaeological evidence suggests that the community at Qumran consisted mostly of adult men. Not only did the celibacy practiced by at least some Essenes attract their attention, but it fed into the author's misogynistic biases and was part of the ascetic lifestyle they considered to be virtuous.
Now, in light of that statement by Jody Magnus, if they're emphasizing celibacy, that would certainly go against what modern Mormonism is teaching.
Yeah, when you think about the community rule that was found in Cave 1, very clearly talks about this idea that, in essence, women were evil, you stay away from them. There were other books found, the sectarian texts, non-biblical texts that the Essenes wrote that seemed to show that marriage was allowed. But here on page 166, Magnus writes, while marriage did take place in Qumran, there's no doubt about it, Josephus said that this was only for the propagation of the species. So it wasn't for pleasure. It wasn't anything that was emphasized. Women and children were very much a minority issue when it came to what they were doing in Qumran.
Tomorrow we're going to continue our look at some of the claims made by Mormon authors regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls. Do the Dead Sea Scrolls support Mormon doctrine? So far, we're not finding evidence to bolster that claim.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Answering Mormons Questions, published by Kriegel. Written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, Answering Mormons Questions includes a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. Answering Mormons Questions can be ordered online at mrm.org or at your favorite Christian bookstore. Be ready to give an answer.